Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. Thank you for joining us once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast chock full of weird, interesting, unusual, left of the center, anything that's just a little bit odd type stories, true experiences that you, our friends and listening out there, have experienced and are sharing with us here on the podcast. And who is us, Barry? Well, Barry Johnson is one of us.
I am one. Hello. How are
That's
you?
One of. I'm doing good. I'm the other part of us. I'm Adam Beebe. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a week since we've seen you last, talked to you last. So we've got a, man, this one is a good one. This week. This week's a good one.
This was a fun interview, and it was a long interview, and we actually had to whittle it out quite a bit of it because we just kind of got rambling and off topic and off subject and just had a good conversation with Leslie, who is our guest today.
She doesn't lack any energy. I mean, my Lord, she kept saying, "Well, I don't really have, you know, much," but, and then it was just like, whoa, man, we'd get off on these crazy tangents. She's got some great stories, man. And she's a great person to talk to.
Yeah. For all of the self-proclaimed, I'm not an interesting person. You know, there's quite a lot of interesting stories that have come out, and you know, will come as well, because we're probably going to have her. She'll probably be back for sure.
Yeah, she's got lots sitting there. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Something interesting happened to me this past week. I was just sitting at my computer, and I was in my studio area, and I was just watching. I think I was watching Netflix or something like that on, but all of a sudden the overhead light and fan just came on.
Really?
Yeah. Like out of nowhere.
Huh.
And this was, I think this might have been the last time that we, right after we had done our interview or for the, one of our upcoming episodes. Mm-hmm. It just all of a sudden came on, and I went back to turn it off because I didn't need it on, and I certainly didn't need the overhead fan on, and I hit the switch, but it didn't go off.
Really?
So So what I have is the guy who, my landlord, when he put these fans and overhead lights in, he's got a remote that you can
use, I've got one of those. Yeah.
Right. So he's got that, and it's right next to the switch on the wall.
Uh-huh.
So like I had to hit it. And I hit the off button on it, and then the off light, the off fan, I hit all that, and it still wouldn't go off. And finally, I flicked the main switch again, and it went off.
Wow.
It was pretty weird, man.
Wow, that is pretty weird. That is pretty weird. Is that the first time you've ever had anything weird like that happen there at that house?
It's the first thing that I've, like, been conscious of, you know?
Right.
Which is, you know, I think that's part of the fact that we have been listening to, hearing so many stories and talking to so many people about having these occurrences that you don't normally pay mind to.
Right.
But then again, there's that. But yeah, that's the only thing really that I can think of. And I don't know. I messaged Ori from a few weeks back. I was like, "You won't believe it would just happen." And of course, her response is spirits.
Yeah, right.
Spirits. So
that's funny. have the upstairs neighbors said anything about anything weird?
I, you know, that's because that was just that was who we talked to. That's going to be an upcoming episode for everybody. My upstairs neighbors have some interesting stories, sure. But I don't think they have had any because I did ask them.
Right, it would have probably come up in the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So. Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Now I heard some some moaning and some noises, but I think that was just, you know, coming from the guy that was downstairs and single, you know, and had an active dating life or something. Right, so that was right. A whole other kind of spirit yeah. thing going on. So,
well, that's cool. We'll keep us in the loop on that, man, if you figure it out. So,
yeah, definitely. Or I'm just going to let it be.
Don't want to dig too much.
All right. Well, let's get to it. We've got a long one here. And this is, we're all over the place. We're in Africa, we're in the South, we're all over. So lots of really cool stories, and our guest is just a live wire. So Leslie, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
What's my weird story? Okay. I lived in southern Africa in Malawi for 3 years, and previous to that, I lived in West Africa, and I'm originally from Eastern North Carolina, and there were a lot of similarities between the two areas, which I found pretty interesting, and there's a lot of creepy stuff that goes on in bush country in Africa. Mm-hmm. In 2017, there were bloodsucker attacks in Malawi. Mm-hmm. It was covered by BBC. It was all over the place. I think how many dead were there? There were 9 dead, 250 arrests, and my husband is in Diplomatic Corps, and I'm an aid worker, and I was driving up to a hospital where I did surgical funding, and my favorite surgeon wasn't there, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, where's the doctor? And they said, oh, well, in Blantyre, a mob got a hold of him and beat him almost to death for being a bloodsucker. Now, this is what's interesting. It has been reported that they were vampires. Mm-hmm. No, they were bloodsuckers. And what is interesting is bloodsuckers are usually medical personnel, public health personnel, myself included. And what they do is, and it doesn't have to be medical personnel. It can be a stranger in your village. And what they do, what a bloodsucker does, from cultural reference, what a bloodsucker does is they will magically draw your blood while you're asleep or awake. Mm-hmm. They can turn into a creature. They'll take your blood and they will turn it into money. I'm not saying that they will sell it and turn it into money, but your blood will magically turn into cash money.
Wow.
Or gold. And it got really spooky. There was a reporter, I think she was British. She was kidnapped. They burnt someone to death. There was a beating to death. It was spooky. Wow. It was mostly in the south of the country, but I worked at a public hospital and a private hospital, and my public hospital was very austere. I was the first white person a lot of people had seen. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't been exposed to Westerners, a lot of times you're scary. They, you know, you don't know. You know, right. It would be like seeing an alien, I guess, mm-hmm. is the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. So I had to, you know, stay away from work for a while just because I was so obvious, you know, mm-hmm. rolling around a white girl at a hospital. It probably wasn't the best thing to do, but... So we had a bloodsucker attack, and it happens. It's been going on there for about 30 years or so that they've documented, but it goes back a long way. And usually it comes during drought season when people are really desperate.
Right.
I know a lot of people don't believe in global warming. and climate change. But the growing season in Malawi, you don't get rain normally. Like, you have dry season and then you have rainy season. Mm-hmm. And rainy season has been alternately awful, causing just catastrophic floods. And then it has been incredibly short. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of famine. I don't know if you guys have seen The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind about William Kamkwinda. It's on Netflix.
I think I have seen it.
He's been making the rounds on Facebook. It's like, oh, this guy, he got junk and made a windmill and powered his village.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. I did see that.
Super cool guy. Highly recommend the book and the movie. That was a huge starving time, and a lot of this kind of stuff was going on then too. Bloodsuckers. Absolutely. Wow.
I do remember when that came out on BBC News for sure. I remember when that came out and was the big news around, because, like, you know,
vampires,
right? You know, which obviously they're not. I mean, our Western civilization, European, or even the Asian version of traditional vampires.
Oh yeah.
But that, you know.
So is the idea that the blood is drawn out of the body without instruments?
It varies depending on who you talk to.
Okay.
A lot of times they'll say, oh, I had a needle mark on my arm. Or they'll be like, oh, they turned into a mosquito and they drew my blood out this way. But what's so interesting is President Mutharika, the president of Malawi, he was a professor in the United States he was in the U.S. for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. He's, I think he went to Dartmouth. I don't know. He's Ivy League educated in the U.S. His children are U.S. citizens. And when you get a lot of this magical thinking, it's because of the lack of education. 50% of Malawian children do not go past primary school or even graduate from primary school. Mm. 70% of Malawians earn like $1.25 a day. Wow. If you go to a high school, you have to pay secondary school fees. It's expensive. So education, and it being mostly a rural agricultural country, you're sequestered. So Mutharika, who is Western educated, did not help matters when he got in public and said that he was going to investigate this and he was going to catch those bloodsuckers, and anyone who was sucking blood was going to be prosecuted. Excuse me. Instead of saying, you know, this is mass hysteria, this isn't happening, people are sick and dying because of our poor economy. I don't know how much you know about Malawi, but it is flip-flops between there and Haiti for the poorest country in the world.
Wow.
But I survived. I did not suck blood, and it died down, and I continued work. Any questions? I'm like, David S. Pumpkins here. Any questions?
Well, why would he set it up like that? Is that because he doesn't want to shoulder any of the blame from folks in, you know, blaming the government for any of that kind of stuff, for the suffering, or does he really believe in that stuff?
I do not think, culturally, I mean, magical thinking and animism, it's mostly a Christian country. There's some Muslim population towards the lake.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, with colonialism, you're going to keep your cultural identity. You're just going to meld it with Christianity or Islam or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And I think culturally, you think magically, you go see the medicine man. You had flyers around. He can increase your butt. He can make things grow.
Right.
He can give you money. He can get that lover back. So you're going to, it's an interesting dance. But I think personally, he did not want to seem culturally unaware. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of flack for being an American.
Right.
I mean, we love America there. And Malawi actually was one of our few Cold War allies in Africa. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I think he didn't want to seem culturally unaware or different or American. He wanted to be seen as a Malawian.
Or even to be perceived as the head bloodsucker himself. I mean,
you know there's, what? That is a very real possibility.
I mean,
you never know. Right. He could have been a bloodsucker.
Right.
But true. For now, all is quiet on the Western Front.
So that's kind of that's kind of their witch, right? It's kind of their witch. You know.
Oh, absolutely. There's zombies too.
Okay.
I would drive usually about an hour and 20 minutes to my job. It was up on a mountain. It was gorgeous. And I would go through a checkpoint. I didn't have to go through the checkpoint because I drove way too fast. But you would go through, look, you have to. I'm telling you, it was crazy. So you would go through the checkpoint, and it was for customs. And just tiny little area. There was a lot of minibuses there, you know, market. And one day I got a call and they said, you don't need to go to work today. It was from a security officer. And he said, you don't need to leave and go up your route. I was like, what's going on? He's like, well, there's a zombie and the villagers have gathered their implements of destruction and they are going to storm this police station to get this man that they know was dead.
Whoa.
And he has come back. Whoa. And they're going to drag him out. They're going to kill him. It was a case of mistaken identity, but, I mean, they had to, you know, bring out police and, you know, I don't know, I've seen White Zombies. So I'm kind of like, you know, is it, It's the air is very electric with supernatural and magic, and you know, it's I'm not going to say it's easy to get caught up in it, but coming from a Southern background, in a incredibly religious household, it's, you know, familiar. And it's not zombies, but the magical thinking. And sure. I was brought up in a strict Latter-day Saint home.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anything about Mormons, they don't believe in any kind of magic or angels or, you know, golden plates hidden in a backyard.
Nothing at all.
None of that stuff happened.
Right. So,
not at all. There's no magic at all.
I love you have a sense of humor about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not practicing, if that tells you anything.
Well, so. Adam and I are the same way. We grew up in the Bible Belt, and we grew up with the same, it's kind of the same deal. It's a lot of repression and,
the Lord will provide.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
as long as you're not a sinner. That's the thing.
And I'm going to tell you which are the good and the bad ones, the bad sins, you know. My sins aren't so bad, but your sins are terrible.
You know, sexual sin is the worst sin, second only to murder.
Of course.
Right. Of course.
That was how I was brought up.
Right,
so.
Of course.
I'm frizzled like a fritter, but, you know, whatever. I have to go sometime. I'll save y'all a seat by the fire. How about it?
That sounds good. Hey, you know, hell's got all the best bands. So,
you know, there's the Stephen King story. I don't know if you read that. What was it in? I can't remember, but it was something about rock and roll heaven. I know they got a hell of a band. Anyway, right. it was really messed up. Highly recommend it. There's all kinds of stuff going on in Southern Africa. I know you guys are probably familiar with the albino killings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That has been, I was looking at the news, and that's been a recurring problem all of a sudden in Malawi. They've actually beaten, I have to, Tanzania. Now, this is a thing. You know how everybody made fun of Trump for calling it Tanzania?
Right.
That's how everybody pronounces it. It's Tanzania. So I'm like, I don't want to sound stupid, but Tanzania outlawed medicine men and like culturally insensitive term, witch doctors. So now Malawi has had, how many albino killings have we had this year? Since 2014, there's been 25.
Wow.
15 disappearances. It's awful, but, because albinos are seen as magic,
right.
Are twins as well?
I'm sorry?
Are twins as well? They're also, are twins also perceived as magic? Cause I know a lot of places, in the world, and a lot of places in Africa in particular, twins are, and this may be more Northern Africa now that I'm thinking of it, but twins are like bad, you know, they'll split them up or even if they let them live, you know, so.
No, it's, I was really lucky. I got to see a lot of births and it was always considered to be like a good thing. You were very blessed if you had twin babies.
Wow.
And they lived. Yeah. But yeah, so do you want to know anything about albino killings?
I mean, you know, we want to hear your weird story. Okay, so right.
Let us know. Albino bones, according to what the medicine men say, if you put them over Coca-Cola, it'll make it fizz. Okay. They're magnetic and they will make lights go out. They'll bring you wealth. And I was wondering, you know, how will albino bones bring you wealth? Well, this is how albino bones will bring you wealth. You put them in a special box that a medicine man will give you, and then it starts shooting money out.
Huh. Wow.
And you get all kinds of political power. A whole albino person will cost you, I think they said like $40,000, but you see a lot of people missing hands and feet or arms or legs. And most albinos in the more dangerous countries, which are Tanzania, Mozambique, Malawi, some parts of Zambia, most of them live in the city where it's not a thing.
Right.
You're really safe there. I know my private hospital where I worked, we had a sun clinic on Fridays. For albino patients where they could come and get sunscreen and sunglasses and hats for free and get some treatment. And they also did community education so that they could try to dispel some of these rumors and myths.
Wow.
Because, I mean, they're killing people. It's ridiculous. You know, medicine men and, you know, witch doctors, which I don't necessarily like that term, but it's also a colloquial term in Malawi. They'd be like, oh, go see the witch doctor. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll just go to the pharmacy and buy some over-the-counter penicillin.
Right.
Because you don't need a prescription. It's pretty good.
That is really fast. I mean, it's fascinating because you're kind of putting people in the heads of folks that live a completely different existence. And we have no idea that that kind of stuff exists in other parts of the world where people are fearing for their lives because they're being born without melatonin. You know?
Absolutely.
Golly, that is just... You know, my wife is, she's
half, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to step in and say this, but it's without melanin.
Melatonin is what I take at night. Sleep.
I wasn't going to say anything.
One of those.
It's easy to get mixed up.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to step in and go ahead and correct Barry on that before we get flooded from, responses.
You fucking moron. Right? No, that's me.
I don't want anybody else to call you a moron but me. So
but I was gonna say my wife is half Indonesian. Her family is, you know, they came from Indonesia. And my wife was born with two calyx. And My mother-in-law, she always says that if she were born, you know, back in the day in Indonesia, she'd have been killed at birth because that was the mark of the beast. Like, that was the devil's mark, you know?
It's super interesting. I mean, and, you know, you think about it in the U.S., you know, it's still a thing now when a baby is born and they're born in their amniotic sac. You're supposed to have, you know, special gifts. You're going to have the sight, whatever. I mean, I'm like, that's kind of, I don't know. Some people are really into that. I'm like, whatever. Just clean it up and hand it to me once it's slipping through the night. But I don't even remember those days. My kids are old, so.
It's just wild that we come from such a different way of looking at things, and then you talk about this that's still going on today, and you're like, whoa, people still live like that. That's, wow.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of prejudice against those who are disabled. There is a big problem with burns. Children under 5 are most likely to be burned because of cooking fires. Because the vast majority of people who live outside of the city, you're not going to have electricity. Mm-hmm. It's not on a grid. Millennium Challenge Corporation. NCC, Millennium Challenge. They're a really cool group. They're setting up a grid system in Malawi to make sure there's electricity and consistent electricity. That's the thing. I had a stove catch on fire. It wasn't even on. I wasn't cooking, I swear to God. But I noticed something was smelled like it was on fire. It was my stove.
Is it electric? electric stove?
It was the electricity. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because the power surges are just insane.
Wow.
But was going somewhere with this. It was electricity. Whatever. Anyway. So burns. So people cook with out on a charcoal, and children will roll on the fires, get stuck in the fire. And my desk in at the hospital where I worked was actually in the burns unit. So I just would go in there and sit and do my work. I didn't have to scrub in. I just walked in and, worked with these children who were burned. They were interested in me. And it got to where I that was the highlight of my day, actually, was going to work. But we had one child. He was probably the most significantly burned person I think I've ever seen in my life. And he was going for treatment at Nkoma Hospital through African Burn Relief, which is based out of Arizona. They're a really good organization. And they were coming and doing plastic surgery for him because he was a social pariah. He was about 12 years old. And when he would walk around the hospital, people would turn from him. Women would shield their babies from him.
Wow.
Pregnant women would not, like, their mothers. I saw, because we had a lot of very large pregnant women. I was usually in surgical ward, and that's where all C-sections were performed. So if a pregnant woman was going down there for a scheduled cesarean, I saw one woman, her mother put a blanket over her so she wouldn't see this boy. So he wouldn't damage her unborn baby.
Wow.
So there's a lot of, he was completely ostracized, and unfortunately, he did die while they were doing plastic surgery to help him. But he, it was a really rough situation. But you see that a lot with just anybody who's different. If you had polio and you're disabled, you know, you're a beggar. Mm-hmm. And you think that you don't see that kind of thing in the United States, but you still do, you know.
Yeah,
it's
right.
And it's more now with, someone is transgender or gay. So I had someone say, oh my gosh, you know, it's so terrible. How could anyone do such a thing? And I was like, well, didn't you just post some really ill shit on your Facebook about someone using a bathroom? You know, you're kind of doing the same thing. it's just all about education and you know, cultural awareness. And, you know, it's sad, but, you know, there's good people out there doing what they can to help mitigate these bad outcomes.
Right. Yeah, and putting them into touch with people like yourself that are not the norm for them is is good, because it forces them to think of maybe a different way of looking at things. I don't know how much interaction you had with people like that, but I'm sure that, you know, you being the outcast, not the norm, and having to fit into a situation and get people to understand that you're just a normal person too. I mean, that's got to give you a really, a really interesting perspective that a lot of people don't get. That's why I used to love traveling to other countries, is to get, put myself in a situation where I'm the odd guy out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I went, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Talk.
I was just going to say, I of course never was in that kind of a situation.
Come to Africa.
Yeah.
Come to Senegal. Yeah. We're going to be living in right on the ocean. It's going to be gorgeous. No, come visit. Seriously.
I'd love to. I'd love to.
It's an 8-hour flight from JFK. Come on.
No, that's not bad. That's not bad.
No, it's really not. So I'll be moving to West Africa. West Africa is completely different from Southern Africa. Mm-hmm. That's where voodoo comes from. So they have fetish markets, not like what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Some people probably more like, bones and skulls and hooves and
fetishes,
as animals.
Yeah. As in magical implements,
as not in magical as in fetishes. Yeah.
Not as in, BDSM gear or, although some of it might
I
be
mean, you
that.
You probably could get a ball there. You could buy anything in the market.
I'm sure you could. So yeah, I'm sure you could buy all sorts of leather, but you know, but not that kind of,
buy probably a, with the fur still on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buy a toe to lick.
Yeah.
My housekeeper in Côte d'Ivoire, I lived in Côte d'Ivoire. My youngest son was small then. He was 4 years old. And she kept calling him by a nickname. She kept calling him Juju, which I thought was adorable. I didn't think anything of it. And then one day, she was really concerned, and she came to me and she said, you know, you're calling him by his Christian name, and I'm worried. You shouldn't be doing this, because he's not 5 years old, and the spirits can hear his name and put a curse on him and kill him. So to ease her mind, I loved her to death. She was wonderful. I always called him by his nickname that she gave him around her. I mean, I don't believe that, but it's interesting to note that most children die under the age of 5 from diarrheal disease, malaria.
Wow.
So there's a little bit of truth to everything.
Sure. Sure.
That's really... I've never heard that.
Yeah, it was cool. Young, I mean, that's terrible, but, you know, interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Wow.
Yeah.
So what did she call... Oh, I guess the other one was... was he older than 5, so he didn't deserve a nickname?
He was 7, I think. Look, I don't even know how old my kids are. They're 13 and 10 now, so I'm like, whatever. They're, like, old, you know? But I didn't notice that as a trend in Southern Africa, the nickname. It could have been in more remote areas, but it was definitely a thing in West Africa that you do not do this. And my housekeeper was a Ghanaian and just a really cool lady. But definitely she would be like, oh, don't go there after dark. You know, they do X, Y, and Z there. She went to Togo to go buy her wedding trousseau. And she's like, oh, I had to get out of there before dark because, you know, they turn into stuff there.
Hmm.
Oh, and here's an interesting factoid. Witches do not fly on broomsticks in Malawi.
Okay.
They fly in a wicker basket.
Hmm. Huh. Interesting.
And it's hard to find wicker baskets because that is the witch's mode of transportation.
Well, you know, it seems much more practical because you can carry more stuff.
Right? You could put all kinds of, I was going to say children. That sounds really creepy. I've been listening to way too much last podcast on the left. And my son, he was like, Mom, when can I listen to your murder podcast? Never. Let's not do that. Ugh. I'm such a bad influence.
We're both big fans of the last podcast. In fact, we were talking about the Mormonism epic series that they just finished.
Let me tell you something very, very accurate.
I'm sure.
Very accurate.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side and he said, we've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house!
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy? Oh,
the hook. The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of ghosties and goblins and interesting things.
I want to go back to voodoo. Is voodoo practiced over there in conjunction with other spiritual beliefs?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, 100%. A friend of mine... Oh, yeah, go ahead, ask. Yeah, sorry.
If I'm correct in making this assumption, it's not... Voodoo is the... what it became when it came over to to the United States or into the Caribbean and then through up into the States. Is it voodoo or is it
voodoo? But you have people call it voodoo too.
Okay. Just curious because I do like to be as I like personally to be factually correct.
I don't deal in facts.
But stories are better. So.
Inconvenient, yeah. the reason why I brought that up was because I took my family. We were in New Orleans a few years ago, and when we took the tour of the, because you have to now pay for a guide to get you into the cemetery.
When did you go last?
Oh gosh, this was 2016 or 17. But yeah, they won't let you in.
You can just hop that fence. I was there last summer and I broke right on in.
Well, we paid the lady, but she was very nice. But I thought she had a really interesting perspective on voodoo because she was Catholic. But she's like, listen, voodoo is not what you think voodoo is. Voodoo's not a bad thing.
It's not.
And I was like, wow, that coming from you is kind of interesting because a lot of people are so scared of it, you know, because of, you know, whatever, their ignorance or the way that they're brought up. But that's why I asked, because she had said that and I was like, well, is that normal across the world? Like where?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Even in Islam, a friend of mine, her housekeeper, she was Muslim. This was in Dakar. And her housekeeper's husband died suddenly. Very young man. They didn't have any children. And she had to do her mourning period in accordance to her religion. But then also she had to wear something around her wrist for an X number of days that was not related to Islam and was from animism, essentially, Budan, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, what was in, it was a band, there was something hard in the cloth. And I said, what was in there? She's like, I didn't ask. And I asked her, she's like, I didn't ask her because that's rude. She said, but I did ask a friend who was Senegalese. And she said, you don't want to know what was in there. So, but it's very, you're focused on your ancestors.
Right.
It's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts of what might have been in there?
I think it was teeth and hair. That's what I think. Teeth and hair.
Playing it safe.
Oh yeah, totally. It would be like an eyeball, you know. I mean, that's
How big was it? I mean, you know.
She said it was about that big. I mean, quarter sized, hard, round. But I, you know, with colonialism, you can't just. I mean, it's like Mexico. You can't just go in and wipe everything out.
Right.
You know, it's gonna evolve and change and be its own thing. And you can see that. Just with modern Christianity and in the Bible Belt too. I mean, look at all the different Baptists, you know, like free will, Southern, like Baptist, but I don't understand it, but whatever, right. You know, I'll just be a heathen over here. I'm fine with that.
Well, in Japan, it became very common to be Christian, but also hold on to your Shinto beliefs or your Taoism or, it's very common. It's not, and the two work together. They can work together. Just because you're one doesn't mean you can't, you know, derive other things from another.
Oh yeah. Things don't have to be either or. And, my grandmother is, I'm sorry, I have to raid my refrigerator.
All good.
Enjoy. It's Diet Coke time. It should be gin and tonic time, but, you know, what are you going to do? it's a school night. But my grandmother is 101.
Oh, wow.
And she is just the kind of things that she does. You know, I lived in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I was right next to Atchison. I don't know if y'all know about Atchison. I'm sure you do. It has Sally House, the most haunted house in America.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I have seen the Sally House. Wow. Atchison. It is haunted with something that we call the Atchison stench. It smells like a cat food factory there all the time. I don't know why. It's a lovely place, lovely people, but damn, man. Ugh. Amelia Earhart was born there.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
Oh, yeah. Super cool. But
hey, so this is interesting. So I live in Enid, Oklahoma, which is it's south of Kansas, the Kansas border by about 45 minutes.
And I drove through there before.
Okay, Amelia Earhart. I'm a part of a brewery downtown, and the building that we are in, supposedly Amelia Earhart came and she landed here, and she had lunch, I think, in the building. I guess it was.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
So, Grandma is a very devout Latter-day Saint, super into it. Her parents, like, if this tells you anything, I'm fifth-generation Mormon, and my family is from North Carolina. So, they started the church in North Carolina.
Wow.
So, huge thing for my grandmother. But I was living in Kansas, and... you know, Fort Leavenworth was the gateway to the West for a while, and there was all kinds of death. We have one of the first national cemeteries there, Confederate dead. And now I'm convinced my house was haunted, but I was talking to my grandma about it, and she said, we have to get some sweet grass, and you got to go through the house. And
yeah, you know, grandma. Oh, wait, that's
out.
Not.
You know, and she said, well, can you paint your front porch ceiling? And I was like, no, you know, I'm living in military housing. I can't paint my front porch ceiling. She's like, well, you got to get some blue bottles and stick them on the tree in your front yard. Do your bottle tree. That'll get the haints out of there. But, you know, you wouldn't think normally a very religious person would be like, oh, yeah, you got to get the sweet grass. You got to blow it out of there. There's something in there. So even with her and her Southern superstitions, it went well with her religious beliefs for her, you know. Mm-hmm. My ghost never left. His name was Bill.
did you give him that name or?
I did. Okay. I named him Bill. My husband, I think he thinks I'm full of crap. He has never said as much that he thinks I'm full of crap. But he has his own weirdness. He won't fly on Friday the 13th. So there you go.
Okay.
Like, you don't believe it's a ghost in the house, but you won't fly on Friday the 13th. Whatever. I have no problem flying on that day. So we moved into our house. It's new construction. It's a super old post. It's second oldest next to West Point. That's still operational. Mm. And, I noticed, like, it was just always cold on my stairs. Not a big deal. We had switchback stairs where you go upstairs, there's a landing, and then you go up the other way. And my youngest son at the time, he was a baby. He was 18 months old when we moved. And I was always trying to get him off those stairs. He would just go to the landing and play and laugh. And I'm like, there is nothing up here. This is not that interesting. Well, I have a problem with trashy television. And I would put my baby down for a nap while my older child was in preschool, and I would sit with my back on the, couch is this way. I was on the arm up there looking at the television, watching if the person was the father on Maury.
Of course.
Also, Steve Wilkos, I love him when he throws a chair, even though he got a DUI. Seriously, I love him. Jerry Springer's trash, and it's not real, but Steve Wilkos is almost as good as Love After Lockup. I don't know if y'all seen that show.
I don't think so.
And it is these, look, this is important. It's these, you want to hear a weird story. It's these people who are writing to these convicts, and then they get out and they have to start a fight.
Oh, God.
It's so awful.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know what? I have seen that.
I'm allowed to watch trash forever.
I've seen that.
Oh, my gosh.
Is there one season or is there more? Is there more than one season of that?
We're on season 3 right now.
Oh, God. Okay. I got to get back in.
Oh, yeah. So I was watching it the other day, and my husband's like, what are you watching this crap for? Oh, then I was watching it again. He's like, ooh, it's the new episode. I'm like, dude, I knew it. You can't stay away. So I would be watching my trash shows, and I kept catching something out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, what? It, just really quick, but I just felt like something was not exactly right. It felt like something was kind of there. Uh-huh. And, my great grandmother, she says she grew up in a haunted house. She was born in 1898. My grandmother has always talked about like spirits, and after her sisters died, she would be like, oh, well, I saw, her sister at the foot of her bed the other night. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this was normal to me growing up. I haven't seen anything terribly spooky. Of course, I've been in some strange situations, but you never know, is it, like their magnetism, is it just your imagination? This was not my imagination. So I kept seeing things, and my parents would come to visit. And one night my mom said to me, they slept in our basement. So we had a finished basement, second floor, and then the main area, and then we had our upstairs. And one day my mom was like, what were you guys doing last night? And I was like, we were sleeping. What the hell were y'all doing? She's like, no, you kept going up and down the stairs all night. I kept hearing you guys going up and down the stairs.
Oh.
I'm like, we weren't going up and down the stairs. The children certainly weren't going up and down the stairs. And so that was that time. She didn't say anything again. And then she came to visit again, and she said, something's wrong with your TV down there. It keeps coming on. I'll turn it off, but it keeps coming back on.
Ooh.
And I told her, I said, well, I think that's Bill. That's what I was just naming, this weirdness in the house. We got a cat, and the cat would like leap from the stair, avoid the landing, and then go on the other stair just to not be there.
Wow.
It was really cool. But so my worst Bill story is my husband was taking command, and it was a morning reception. And I had to provide breakfast and a cake and goodies for like 75 people. So I'm an amateur baker, and I was up all night baking. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was almost done. And someone came up behind me and put their hands on my shoulder. And I turned around expecting to see my husband and nobody was there.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not easily spooked, but I grabbed my keys and I got in the car and I drove to Walmart and I just kind of walked around and I had to, you know, pump myself up to go back home. I'm like, I don't want to go back in there. It just really shocked me.
Oh, I don't blame you.
It was unnerving, you know? Yeah. I mean, because I remember being like, Paul, what are you? I'm like, oh, there's no Paul. It was Bill. You know, I just got used to it. It was never really bothersome. The baby would still sit on the stairs and laugh. He loved it.
Wow.
Whatever. He seemed like a nice enough Hank.
That would freak me out.
My bottles didn't work. My sweet grass didn't work. I put salt around the house. That didn't work. You know, you try what you can do. And so I had another friend come to visit from Goldsboro. And she was sleeping in the basement. And she wakes me up one night, in the middle of the night. And she said, I'm going to sleep in the hallway outside your bedroom.
Wow.
I was like, what's going on? She said, I'm not sleeping down there anymore. She said, number one, I got up to tell you to quit walking up and down the stairs and everyone's asleep.
Wow.
And she said the TV came on and she turned it off. She gets back in bed and the TV comes back on. She turns it off again. And it comes back on and she unplugs it. And then it comes back on.
Wow.
So she was done.
Don't blame her.
Another friend of ours had just moved to Leavenworth. He was waiting for his apartment to be ready and his furniture to be delivered. So he was going to stay in the basement. And when I woke up the next morning, he was gone. And there was a note saying, Bill was walking up and down the stairs all night and the TV came on. I'm gone. Bye. I'll see you tomorrow. He left my house at 3 a.m. to go to sleep. He took a pillow and a blanket and left and slept in his empty apartment because he didn't want to sleep in the house.
Wow.
I had, you know, people would be there and be like, you know, what, you know, seeing things. They're like, is there a fly in here? There's something right there. I can't really tell.
Oh, God.
And then a friend of mine, you know, she would joke about it with me because everybody's like, why do you have the bottles on your tree? And I don't want to be like, cause I'm Southern and we're scared of ghosts. No, I can't do that. You know, everybody automatically thinks country means dumb.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, it's just like a thing that we do in the South. it's decoration. They're all blue. I'm like, oh yeah, that's my favorite color. So my friend, I told her about it. She thought it was, you know, really funny, but she was like, yeah, it feels weird here. Specifically, it was always just down the stairs and into the kitchen. And so she was talking on her Facebook about Haunted Leavenworth. They were doing the haunted tour they do one every year. Halloween in Atchison is crazy. And this girl who went to church with her was like, you know, hopefully there's no haunted houses in, you know, on base. I'm sure there's not. Well, there are. They do tours there. But my friend, she said, actually, you're living in my friend Allison's, Leslie's old house. And her house was haunted. So the girl was just freaked out because she ended up in my old house with Bill. And she was so angry at my friend for telling her that she like defriended her and wouldn't talk to her anymore.
Oh, wow.
And I, you know, I told my neighbor about, she lived on my street, about kind of the funny things that were going on. And, she was a high ranking officer and she had access to a lot of things you wouldn't normally have access to. And she said, there's all kinds of bodies buried around here. You just can't move everything.
Wow.
Wow. Super fun. Wow. Yeah.
That is a very ominous statement.
I will not confirm or deny.
That is.
Wow.
But. Wow, man.
So, you know, I don't know if that's better than Bloodsuckers or not, but I guess that's more ghosty since it's almost Halloween.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Right there.
The fact that you had so many people that verified that without you
for
telling.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah, that is, everybody's getting a piece of that, which is, that is some freaky stuff, man.
I think the freakiest occurrence was, you know, I was still, you know, when the missionaries would come by, my husband was never a Mormon, so we were like a project to them. But I was the bad house where they could come and not go to work and watch Silence of the Lambs and drink Dr. Pepper all day. Mm-hmm. So they would come to my house and hang out, and I'd be like, you know, I'm like, dude, you know, these are young guys. I'm like, if you want to call your mom, you know, because there's a rule, you only call your parents on Mother's Day and Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like, call your mom if you want. I don't give a shit. So they would come by and just sit at my house and watch Tosh.0, whatever. Anyway, I was telling them about Bill. And one of them was like, is he for real? I'm like, I think it's, I said, I think something's here. And I said, Bill, come on out. You know, show him what you got. And my front door opened and closed.
Whoa.
These two guys were there. And if you want verification, I will have them email you.
Wow.
Two of them were there. One guy was Tongan, and he was just totally nonplussed. He was like, oh, of course there's something here. He's like, no, totally. Totally believe you. The other guy was freaking out.
Wow, man.
He was from Idaho. That figures. But anyway. that was
dang, dude.
My haunted house.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience. We can have more friends. We can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
But I have more Africa stories if you want to hear something creepy from there.
Yeah, lay it on us.
Yeah.
We love hearing it.
Getting thrown in pits. So in the south of the country was the original colonial capital. Mm-hmm. It was a place called Zomba. It's in the mountains. I mean, it's crazy. Like, this huge mountain just comes up out of nowhere, and you drive up the mountain, and there's cottages there. There's all kinds of fun stuff you can do. And the mountain's pretty sacred. And it's interesting how you get tour guide. We had a guard at the cottage we were staying, and we asked him, we're like, do you want to show us the stuff on the mountain? He's like, yeah, sure. So we paid him like $20, and he hopped in the car with us and showed us everywhere to go. And he took us to Chingwe's Hole. And Chingwe's Hole, you can Google it, is it's a pit. It's like a pit in between like rocks, and there's a big tree. And that is where they would throw lepers. If you were a leper.
Okay.
And this was up until, I guess, the 50s, not specifically at Chingwe's Hole, but there's also the leper tree. I'll tell you about that in a second.
Wow.
But you don't bear a leprous body. It's going to contaminate the earth, and culturally they think it'll contaminate the earth. And it's not leprosy, it's Hansen's disease, but this is what they call it.
Right.
So they would throw people in the pit. And also Chingwe was supposed to be a chieftain, and he would invite people up to counsel with him in this area. And then if you displeased him or you didn't give him the right answer, he'd throw you in the hole. And it's supposed to be, I think, 10 meters down? I don't know. I don't know metric. I'm sorry. I should wake up my children and have them tell us. they know better than I do. But so they would throw the bodies in there of the lepers. And then there is, have you seen a baobab before? The big tree with like,
yes,
the root structure. Okay,
yeah.
So there is a leper tree. It's a hollow baobab. And you can go. It is there. I have seen this. And they would bring lepers there, or people with perceived illnesses that would contaminate the earth if they were buried, and they would throw them into this hollow tree. And I think up until the 50s, there was like an outbreak of Hansen's disease in a village, and they were throwing the bodies down there. So when I went, and you can see it online, there are skulls and femurs at the bottom of this hollow baobab.
Wow, man.
I'm sorry. I was totally into it. There's a little too much goth kid left in me. I listened to The Cure way too much. I was really into this. I'm like, this is kind of gory, and I'm really here for it.
Where else in the world could you see something like that? Just
absolutely.
Just random bones hanging around.
Oh yeah, we were on.
She's got to answer, Barry.
I do. I totally forgot about this. So, Cote d'Ivoire had a civil war, and when we moved there, they call it the crise, and we were there 2 years post crise, and we went on a tour of it was supposed to be a park. It was basically a forest in the middle of the city, and you had to hike, and then you could go to this little nature center, and they had a mummified chimpanzee. There's a picture of me kissing it. It was in glass. We were riding in the safari vehicle. I mean, there's no wild animals there. I mean, there's a hippo or two, but not there in the city. And we were driving, and some of Bagbo, that was the guy he's a war criminal. Some of his men were staying there in this forest, and keep in mind, this is only 2 years previous, and we drove by, and there was three heads hanging from a tree. They were skulls, but those were heads. And my friend was like, oh yeah, you'll see, there might be a leg or something, like bone.
Whoa.
It happens, because it was an incredibly dangerous time.
Wow.
A friend of mine was living there. My friend, who was actually in Senegal, she was living there and was on the last plane out with her kids. Oh. And it was incredibly bloody and very, very violent. But there was three heads hanging, so you can go there and see that.
Wow.
Damn. Where else can you see bones? I don't know, but there's a closed leper colony in Louisiana, so that's kind of cool. Maybe they have some bones there. I don't know. There's got to be a good medical oddity museum in your region.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
there is.
See something fun.
Yeah, there is.
It doesn't even have to be the Mirror Museum, but go see some gross things.
Yeah, I like that.
It's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a little too creepy. I studied infectious disease, so I really like them. I can't help it. Something's terribly wrong with me.
Well, it's all fascinating, really. It's like we are just these meat bags. We are just, there's so many things that can go wrong. And
you're a pus bag. You are one rusty nail away.
There you go.
Right.
From a hideous septic infection.
Yeah.
And, I one thing I appreciated is that death is not scary there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not scared of dead bodies. Your family still will go, and when someone dies, they'll take them to the crematorium, and the funeral parlor is right behind the hospital. You can't always be embalmed, so you need to bury the body quickly. And you'll go and you'll have your funeral service there, right behind the hospital, and then you'll take the body to the grave. And a lot of times you'll take the body on a horse and cart. You still see horses and carts. It's pretty cool. And sometimes you'll take the body on top of a minibus. I have seen that. I had a patient die, and they wrapped her in a tarp and they strapped her on top of a taxi essentially and drove her home. You do with what you can, but it's appealing to me that death isn't taboo. It's not something to be feared. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of respect for the dead. It's not so clinical,
right?
And you know, that's how my grandmother did it. You know, I mean, like you wash your dead, you dress mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. you take care of them, and so that really was a really cool thing to see. But when people die, if you are important and you're a male, the Gule Wamkulu will come when you die. Now, the Gule Wamkulu, you're going to have to, I'm going to have to send you a video of this because okay. it's the absolute coolest thing ever. It is a cult, not like a religious cult, but it is a cult in that it is a secret society.
Okay.
You are not to speak of it. It is only men. And it has been around since the 17th century. And it is part of the Chuwa tribe. So in Malawi, you speak Chichua. You're a Chuwa. You're Bantu people, essentially. And that goes from like Tanzania, Zambia, Malawi, some Mozambique. And it's all men. Malawi is matrilineal. So women, you know, can have land. They're still treated very poorly, but you know, they're kind of the head honchos. And these men will get together and they're initiated into the Gule Wamkulu. You dress up like a spirit, like an animal spirit generally. Mm. It's mud all over the face. Like you make an outfit out of straw, like a mane. Sometimes you dress up like a horse. It is insane. Oh. And when someone dies or you know, there's a birth or a wedding, out of nowhere, people will start screaming and hollering because the Gule Wamkulu are coming. So they'll chase you. And there have been times where they have been violent because you're supposed to pay them. You're supposed to throw your money and run. Oh. And I was working in the village. And out of nowhere, I mean, you'll see them running down the road because young men are initiated into the cult. And so I'm there working with my teacher, and it is like this crazy uproar. They do this dance. They kick up the dust. And I'm the only Mzungu in the Mzungu's white person. I'm the only Mzungu in the village. And the Gule Wamkulu see me and my white ass. And they know I have got some money. And I was not running, but walking briskly away from about 15 or 20 beings in these masks. You can't see anything. It is incredible.
That's intimidating. So, that's a little intimidating, I'd imagine.
It was very I was honestly scared. And I started throwing kwacha. That's your currency there. Started throwing kwacha and getting in the house, and everyone was laughing at me. but what's interesting is when you are initiated into the Gule and you dress up to do your dances and your ceremonies, it is everyone absolutely believes that you are no longer a man. You become that spirit.
Huh. Wow.
You become that spirit, and you are magical, and you can fly, and you are never to tell your identity. Your wife will probably know that's what you're doing. You mm-hmm. can you'll recognize people, because especially in poor villages, you're not going to have mm-hmm. as much decoration. But you cannot look at them in the eyes. You do not address them, and you definitely don't let them know you know who they are.
Wow.
It's super cool. Like,
that is really cool.
Running down the road, and I bought a mask from Lake Malawi's huge. It's like the ocean. And coming back to Lilongwe from Lake Malawi, there's a really good artisan I would buy from on the side of the road, and he had a Gule mask, and I bought it. And my housekeeper, who is a male, saw it in my house, and he was like, "How did you get that? And whoever sold that to you is evil and wrong."
Oh, oh wow.
So, you know, he's like, you know, it's okay, but, you know, don't show anyone you have that here.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, of course I kept it. But, so, you know, that was an interesting thing. And, you know, it was a cool place to live. If I'm not in at the beach in North Carolina, Africa is definitely where I want to be.
Wow. That's cool. Wow.
Super fun.
That's
cool. You know, where else can you, you know, butcher a cow and get that fresh and, you know, eat fried grasshoppers and mice on a stick?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, mice on a stick is a delicacy there. They there's the Mouse Boys of Malawi, and they chase the mice out, and they're like a musical group. Pretty cool. So, wow. I don't know. It's fun.
That's
termites great. And, you know. Do you guys have any questions? I feel like I told Adam previously, my tongue is loose at both ends, and I will talk forever.
It's fantastic.
Look, no, I'm just, you know, I'm thoroughly enjoying your stories, and you're answering questions before I can really get to them. So it's fantastic. It's great.
Yeah.
Although I do keep looking at these dolls behind you and wondering if one of them's going to turn its head and look right at me. So
let me tell you something about my doll babies. All right. Felicity.
My wife loves dolls, too.
Okay, so I was 9 years old. I got her for Christmas, and she went with me. I went to UNC Greensboro, and she went with me there. And I had a really terrible car accident, and I almost died. And I had to move home for a while because I couldn't walk. And I brought my doll home. Of course, I had to move out of my apartment. I was listening to last week's story about like the old house split up into three. Oh my gosh, that was my life. It was awful. So the whole place smelled like mildew. It looked cute. Shouldn't have done it. so I moved out, and my sister moved in. I had moved back to Greensboro, but I left like my doll in the attic. And my sister got mad at me, and she threw her away.
Oh.
She threw away my doll.
Wow. Oh, man.
I was devastated because she was an original, not the new American Girl stuff they have. I got her when she first came out. Huge deal. She was worth money. She threw her in the trash.
Oh, man.
Threw her in the trash. So my mom, who is super sweet, bought her for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just got her like a couple weeks ago. She's like, I bought you something. She bought me. She bought me my doll. So, yes, my husband also does not like it. He says it looks at him at night and he does not care for it. I'm not scared. I'll fly on Friday the 13th. I'll deal with a ghost, but he can't deal with a baby doll. It's ridiculous.
Dolls are creepy.
Junior, I tell you. You know, they can be spooky, but what's real spooky are those, like, reborn dolls that, like, breed, and people dress them up and take them out.
Yeah,
that's a whole other kind of spooky, though.
Let me tell you something. Go on Instagram and hashtag reborn. Fall down the rabbit hole. It will keep you entertained for days.
I'm sure.
This is what happens when you're, like, not working, and you're in limbo with your life, and your husband or partner is away for months at a time, you start doing creepy things and judging other people's life choices. And, you know, I can't help it. But so this kind of ties in with my doll. Actually, when I had my car accident, I was unconscious for 2 days, and I wasn't calling anybody. You know, I couldn't call anybody on the phone. And my mother was so frantic. She said she woke up one morning. She's like, I just knew something was terribly wrong with you. And she kept calling my house. And she said, I was about to get in the car and drive to your apartment and find you in Greensboro when my friend called and said, Leslie has been in a car accident. She's been in a car accident. She is, she's conscious now, but you know, my parents didn't know where I was for 2 days.
Wow.
And she just knew. Like, she just knew. Wow. And, you know, I don't know. Is that weird?
Well, you know, I mean, it's moms have that thing, you know.
They really do.
They know when their kids are, you know. Mm-hmm. something's happened. So
absolutely. So yeah, there's all kinds of weird crap that happens when you grow up in the middle of nowhere. And so I've got all kinds of stories.
Hey Barry,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
I'll tell you a weird story. I was addicted to nasal spray. And it's not like how you think. What it is you're consistently stuffed up.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, and I had to like stay stuffed up for like a week just to get, because I'm like, this is my third bottle of nasal spray. Yeah. I don't think I have a cold anymore. It was awful. So there's my sordid drug past. Nasal spray. But you saw my ex-boyfriend's, Adam. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What was wrong with me? But I'm not a very interesting person. So
no, not at all. Not at all.
No, I mean seriously, like
clearly you've illustrated that once again.
I mean, I don't know. To me it's just normal, you know,
right.
Normal life, and
everybody thinks that their own life is boring because you experience it. You've been through it all. You experienced it. And then you start talking to people about, you know, oh, and then they told me not to come into work because of blood suckers and, you know, all that stuff. And people are just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I'm boring for the most part. I mean, all I do is like listen to podcasts and walk on the beach. I mean, it's not, you know. What can you do? It's a tough life, I guess, but someone's got to do it.
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, Adam.
Yes.
I'm picking up my picture from the framers.
Oh, are you?
I'll have to send you a picture of it.
Yes, do.
I don't know where my daughter is right now. She's somewhere hiding. Adam drew me a lovely picture.
Oh, good.
Of my kitty.
Good, yeah. Good.
That was a fun one. I really liked doing that, too.
That's great.
She's so sweet. She has been all over the world. There's nothing worse than getting a cat out of a carrier four times in Charles de Gaulle Airport. And they make you take them off the harness.
Oh, gosh.
And they were actually going to put her through the x-ray machine when we were flying out of Addis in Ethiopia. And I was like, this is an animal. You can't put her through there.
Right.
Like, no, I totally can. So we were, I had to walk through security holding an incredibly angry cat.
Yeah.
And then I noticed all of these flashes going off. And it was not ghosts. It was not zombies. It was not bloodsuckers. It was tourists taking pictures of the white girl struggling with her cat, trying to stuff this angry animal. It was like 50 huge Nigerian dudes. And they're just like videoing, and I look at them. I'm like, quit fucking videoing me. I like screamed in the middle of the airport. My kids are like, mom's mad. And I'm like struggling with this cat, and she's like the claws and the feet not going in. God. Ugh. It was special. A 36-hour trip with a very pissed off kitty. Oh, man. So you got any other, like, questions about, you know, like, spooky Africa stuff or zombies or bloodsuckers or rivalries behind it or?
So with the zombie, that was, you said it was in their tradition, are is there, because like, okay, in Haiti they do have that drug that is made from like the pufferfish,
yes,
that creates what would, you know, make zombies basically, yeah, people who are basically brain, you know, brain dead almost. They basically, they can't really respond, but they're very, they can be told what to do and all of that, but this really subdues, almost like, I guess, pushes away their, you know, kind of personality and will, maybe. I'm not sure exactly, but that's kind of what it does. Is that something similar to what the zombies are over there, or the zombies over there?
Not just at all.
People who have died and then come back.
Yes.
Okay.
And you are considered to be something that should be destroyed automatically.
Right.
It's more of a boogeyman fear,
right,
thing. So yeah, that was something. You know, one time, because there's nothing much to do in the long way. There's no movies or anything, and it's a good place if you want to raise your kids. But if you're like a young dude, you mm-hmm. have a hard time, and you know, you have the Marine detachment who guards the embassy. So we would have them over all the time, and you just have parties all the time. All we did was drink gin and tonics and like cook out and have a good time. So one day we were all pretty well liquored, and I have an epilator. It is like an electric razor, but it mm-hmm. doesn't just cut the hairs. It rips them out by the root.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Tim was complaining about his back being hairy, and I said, well, you know, let me epilate your back.
Oh god, because
I have a little bit of trichotillomania, and I love to tweeze, so and use my epilator, and it's just very satisfying. The pain is, I kind of like the pain. It's a little bit weird anyway. So in the middle of my living room, we have like 30 people in my house. I have a line of men, drunk men, laying down, letting me epilate their backs, their chests. My friend wanted his leg epilated in just like one big streak. I think I outdid Mavis that day, and I was really drunk. I mean, I'm a lightweight anyway, but I had like 4 or 5 cocktails, and we're like eating barbecue, and I'm like, oh, it was something. it was definitely something. And everyone left de-haired, and they were crying too. They're like, you're so bad. I'm like, I use this on my armpits. Y'all are a bunch of pussies. It was fun. Definitely interesting. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess if you want to have me back, I can tell you some spooky Southern stories.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. /weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's 2 different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are 2 designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that, and if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. Not an interesting person, not an interesting story at all.
That's the opposite of my take on it, man.
Yeah, complete understatement there.
she was, man, I think the added part of the world that she was in, Africa, really strikes up some connotations in your brain about, you know, it's so steeped in folklore and religious ideas, and to have someone that's gone over there, lived there for a pretty good period of time, and to get their take on it is really just a cool thing to have.
Yeah. And also the fact that she understands it from the, you know, the appropriate cultural point of view, you know, without,
right.
You know, I mean, she frames it as this, you know, she understands that this is their beliefs, and she's, you know, nobody's mocking their right. beliefs or anything like that. And and that's one thing that, you know, we want people to understand, that we're not laughing at anybody for anything. Yeah, inappropriately. Sometimes there's tons of appropriate laughter to be had, but that's not what we're saying. But like, just, it's amazing, like you said, because it is still, magic is a living thing there, you know?
Right.
In our European and Western kind of, you know, culture and societies, we've kind of like, well, you know, I mean, obviously we've been fairly, Christian, it's a fairly Christian oriented society based, mm-hmm. at least, you know, mm-hmm. for couple thousand years, so that, you know, the things that people talk about, you know, being magic are either just looked down upon, ignored, mm-hmm. or, you know, or just flat out called evil, you know, right. without a second thought. And right. so how, you know, parts of like Africa and the Mediterranean, but the Caribbean, you know, where mm-hmm. they can take and use their old traditions and magic and beliefs and combine them and fluidly with more contemporary, you know, Christian type beliefs mm-hmm. as well, you know, and that's just, and roll with it, because like to them that's like peanut butter and jelly, you know.
Right Yeah. And which is, you know, like I said before in the podcast, I was talking, whenever we went to New Orleans, I took my family down there and we did the whole graveyard tour and stuff, and our guide was, she was Catholic, but she had a very strong connection with voodoo, and right. she, you know, and I just thought that was so interesting, because you don't hear people talk about those things very much here. In other parts of the world, it's not weird to have two, you know, spiritualities or belief systems that mm-hmm. sort of can live and coincide with each other, and people will adopt things from mm-hmm. each religious idea. And I thought that was a pretty unique take from that part of the world, you know, that she was able to make that connection and not, you know, say that, you know, all that you hear is bad, you know. She's like, it's not bad, you know, it's just you know, people have been doing this for years and years and years around here. It's a part of our culture and we embrace it, you know. And I just, so anyway, it's cool to get her take, to get Leslie's take on being in a foreign land where their beliefs are steeped in, you know, just thousands and thousands of years of, you know, trial and error. And this is the way that they're, you know, that they live their lives.
Yeah. I liked, one of my favorite parts is how she was talking about how, you know, you'd see flyers for witch doctors, right. and how they could make you, you know, they could, one of the things, the taglines was make you get a bigger butt.
That's hilarious.
So, but those, man, they were great stories. And like, you know, the bloodsuckers, when she first mentioned mm-hmm. the bloodsuckers, when we were corresponding before she came on, I thought, I was like, oh, these are vampires. You remember? Right. And I didn't think I said to you, mm-hmm. African vampires.
Right.
But, and I guess to a degree they are, but they're not, you know, and that mm-hmm. just the fact that that's so different mm-hmm. from, you know, and as we mentioned in there, in, you know, where you turn blood into money, literally.
Right.
That's wild.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And then, but you know, also, you know, all the African stories were fantastic and really, just enriching, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, I've always loved learning about different culture and civilization. But also, you know, the fun stories about, you know, her house and, you know, and the ghost in the basement and all the other stories, mm-hmm. man. There's so many, there's so much there. Just so much there. And like I said, we got off on tangents and kind of wind, you know, try to steer everything back together. And Barry did a great job cutting out the bits that didn't pertain to the podcast. But
we probably could have talked to her for another 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, easily. I think, yeah, she was definitely ready to go, and we had been worn out. So, but we're definitely gonna have to have Leslie back for sure. So, Leslie, thank you for joining us. That was a lot of fun, and everybody, thank you for listening. We always appreciate you tuning in and downloading and listening and everything, and you know, it means the world to us, and we love hearing your story. So feel free to write in and get a hold of us somehow through the social media, through the Facebook, the Instagram, Twitter, you know, email, whatever, you know, get a hold of us and let's hear your stories. We got some cool stuff coming up. Let's see. I think we got next week. Next week, Barry. This is an interesting one because this is the other side, a closer side of the story you told on our half year special.
That's right.
With the home invader.
That's right. Yeah, we've got one of the brothers that was in the house at that time, and he's gonna give his take on the story. Ran into him and I said, "Hey, man, you know, I'm doing a podcast and I would love if you would come on and share sort of your take on that story." And so he went back and listened to it, and so we had him on. I'm really excited to get that out and to let people hear it.
Yeah, it's a story that I've heard, you know, hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And still, when he was telling that story, I was just, you know, on the edge of my seat. So
yeah.
Cool. Well, all right. Well, thanks for listening once again, guys. We will... We'll see you next week. Until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.